makes our hearts solemn and I trust also tender. And believing tonight, Lord, knowing that you are here in the form of the Holy Ghost in the pillar of fire, taking supervision over your church, leading it into the resurrection, into the rapture, to the millennium. We know all this is true, Lord. And we trust that we're a part of it, each and every one tonight, in your divine presence, O God. Help us, Lord, to study your word, to know what you gave us for this hour. It might be meat and drink unto us, Lord. It might be life and health. We know it is life. Might it also be health, Father. We know in it is all, are all things supplied, O God. May we learn how to take that word to heart, Lord, and let the life of that word supersede our own lives, that your glory might come forth, Lord, and not only that, but we receive some of those things, Lord, which you have said are ours. We commend ourselves to you tonight now, thanking you for the lovely spirit in the song service, Lord, giving the correct anointing for it. We pray now for the correct anointing for the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we are, I believe, number 9 of this, the message of Who is this Melchizedek? And I'm going to have to try to pick up where I left off the last time, and yet with some repetition, no doubt, and not exactly deviate from the message, but to keep utilizing thoughts that are in this message by Brother Branham that we can apply to ourselves, in particular this hour. Now, you will notice here that what we have been actually looking at is God from the beginning, and then God in creation, and God coming down to become a man amongst men, all of which has to do with the family concept of Almighty God. Well, maybe we'll just read a little bit about this family concept, so we'll be able then to go to the board, and perhaps we can do some drawing that isn't very good, but because you'll be able to see and to hear, it might help you a little bit. Now, in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, 14 and 15, Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So evidently here we have Paul telling us that there is a God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, there happens to be a whole family of them, and they are named through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we all the time look at in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, speaking of Jesus, beginning in verse 9, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering and death, crowned with honor, glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every son. The word man is not in the Greek, that should be in the italics. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now you see there that God ordained that Jesus Christ would bring many sons, that's God's own sons, into glory. And he's the captain, he's the head brother. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, that's Jesus and all the brothers, are all of one source, which makes God their father. And might as well stop here and just tell you that if you are simply a fundamentalist and you have an idea that you were a reprobate or you were anything but a son of God, and you are made a son of God to become a brother of Jesus Christ, you are spiritually insane. You're just spiritually insane, that's all. Because how do you think that you could be a one source, that's God, and be any different from the Lord Jesus Christ as a son, except as in stature? sons or sons. You got to make up your mind. It's tough preaching, but I'm sorry. You make up your mind. You can't go back to being Baptist, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Pentecostal, or whatnot. We have a vindicated message by a vindicated prophet. See? Now, if it gets too cold for the people, they're watching back there, Bill and Lord, maybe just raise it a bit, because I can stand the heat, but I see a lot of people getting cold in there. Okay, now listen. He said here, for he that sanctifies, both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified, all have one Father. Now, we're trying to tell you something here. You can't be like a woman who, when her husband died, began shacking up with people. And she has 6 or 7 kids after he's dead. Well, these are all my sons by my husband who is dead. Well, you might as well say that. Do you hear what I said? Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified have one Father. Now, you say, well, how did it get that way? We're going to try to show you something on the board, how it got that way. I don't know if I can do it or not. I'm not very smart, but I'll take a crack at it. See, because that's my job. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now you think, well, maybe I was a bad person and I got wonderfully saved, hallelujah, and oh, bless God, I love Jesus and I love my fellow man. I don't drink and I don't smoke and everything is just so nice. And that's the reason he's not ashamed of me. You are stupid, spiritually speaking. You're not reading your Bibles. Now, let me tell you something. If we don't understand what's behind this word, the way God said it, and understand it, we will get nowhere in the graces of God because you're barking up a wrong tree. He said, I'm not ashamed because they are my brethren. They went astray. It was ordained that they go astray. They never had the same body I had to begin with. We're going to talk about that. See? But he said, they come from the same source. Now, I know we look at ourselves. See, my God, I look in that three-way mirror. I couldn't believe I came from God. It is shocking, isn't it? See, God couldn't look so ugly. You're right. Fallen sons. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Exegeticize. I'll bring out the glory and the wonder that lies in the name is what they know, because Lord, Father, they can't know you as I know you, but one day they will. See, really what we have in the whole church ages is a growing revelation of God, until at the end time it is the perfect revelation of God that is belongs to us. And in it, that revelation puts us in immortality, brings the dead out of the ground, and puts us into a rapture of the millennium. You say, well, just a minute. No, don't just a minute me. Just wait till you see him face to face and get the revelation. Then just wait till you're 1,000 years with him. And after the white throne, and you go through the white throne, and then see the new heavens, and the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, then you'll begin to really see what we're talking about here, and so will I. In the meantime, we had better put to God seal that he is true. Yeah. Why do we make God a liar day in and day out? You know why? Because we are liars. We're so false in our humility, we stink. We are arrogant, proud, presumptuous, and rotten. When we dare to stand up against God and say, well, God, I don't believe your word. Let's say it. Jesus is the Son of God and I am the Son of God. Let's say, Jesus is the Son of God and I am a Son of God. We have the same Father. We have the same Father. If it makes you feel good or not, at least you told the truth for once in your life. Scripturally speaking, some things are hard, I know, but you're not all that hard. Well, listen, Jesus is going to do a solo. He is actually come and going to do a solo over us. So we can't be so rotten after all. Huh? Can't be quite so bad. In spite of the three-way mirror. See, the image is being formed in us. The real true image, that Jesus was the fullness of the image, the expression of God. We bypass that. We're coming into it.
Amen.
Because we're going to be like him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see about 50 billion Jesuses? I don't suppose there are going to be that many. But wouldn't it be just wonderful just to think, hey, that's what lies ahead. I'll declare thy name unto brethren, and I will sing a solo unto thee, O God, in the midst of them, because I am so happy to be the captain of their salvation. I am the elder brother. You couldn't get that by joining a church. You couldn't get that unless you were born to it. Unless you were back there in God. To have the same Father, you'd have to be back there in the same Father. God has laid it out beautifully in nature if we just believe it. Okay, we read that. Let's go back to Ephesians. And you know, I usually take my time and never get finished. I don't intend to tell you the truth, so just sit and relax. Let's go to Ephesians 1, first chapter, beginning at the third verse, and read a little bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, or in the heavenlies in Christ, which are in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the placing of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and beloved. Now it tells you right there that we were actually in the Christ of God before the foundation of the world, and God knowing we would bypass that theophonic form, the word form, the spirit body, knowing we would get into sin, already had it all prepared that he would place us as his sons because we are sons. Now, he can't place anybody that's not a son. Supposing I had half a dozen sons, and some of your sons came along, could I place those children as my sons? No way, they are not my sons.
Amen.
If not, how can I do it? I could make some charade or something. But it isn't going to work. They're not my children. So you see what we're talking about here. The 10th to 12th verses. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. What all things in Christ? A whole bunch are in him. He's not going to lose one. We're going, Brother Brown's going to quote that. I'll raise him up and I won't lose one. See? Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now he said, I'm going to predestinate. He said, I've got a destiny all lined up for them. In spite of the fact that they're going to bypass the spirit body that Jesus never bypassed. We'll put it on the board in a minute or two. He said, they're going to come exactly where they really want to be, and I want them to be. They're going to get there. Okay, let's go to Revelation 21, and let's see where we're going to go. And this brings us back to the future home of the earthly bride. And notice how everything works dovetails. There's just one glorious message that we have here, which is God all, in a predestinated plan. All right? Let's read verses 1 to 421 of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, who is the tabernacle of God? That's Jesus is the true tabernacle. Now, he's right there with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. Notice that now. The Father and the Son and all the children, the big brother. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See? All right. Let's go to 9:11, same chapter. There came one to me of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, and on he goes. And then we jump down to chapter 22, the first four verses. And he showed me a pure river of water, light, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street, and on either side of the street, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. There is no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb that shall be in it. And the servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now we're looking at a picture there of exactly what God wants for us as his family. He tells us where we're going to be. He tells us the place. Everyone that's going to be there. There isn't going to be one that is missing. Now, what we want to do then is very grotesquely, but hopefully we'll get by with it, do a little drawing here, and we'll start, maybe a little drawings here. Let's start way over here to the right-hand side. Is this thing going to work? Hey, what, you got a pencil here that doesn't work? Let me see. I think we're drying up. I'll just start something else here. That's it, whichever you want that. You can work that, manipulate that, and I'll try to manipulate this. Okay, maybe we can do it now. Okay, here we go over here, and this is God. So, we're going to put here God, because I can't reach that high. Your spirit. It's a pity to rip a new church down, but I'm going to get you boys to take a little piece right out of there and make me a blackboard board that, well, it's got to be here. Now it's got to be somewhere a little better than you got so they can see it. Now, up here is God, omnipotent. I won't spell it all out. And omniscient. Now, that's what we know God to be. When there wasn't a speck of stardust, there was nothing but Almighty God, who himself never had a beginning, never has an ending. He is Spirit, Holy Spirit, and he's omniscient and he's omnipotent. And that's a combination that only God can have, and that's the only combination God would need to have to be God. Because you don't need to be anything but omniscient and omnipotent, and you are God, period. Understand what I'm saying? Because he knows everything, can handle everything, he's big enough to do it. So you and I can't do that. All right, now that's God in the beginning. Now over here, we're going to put, whoops, it's not very good, is it? On that letter P. Potential. The potential defined, and I'm not going to do too good a job because I'm not that smart. Now here's God over here with all these potentials and with the attributes, characteristics, qualities, everything in here that comes from here. And I wrote this down, and I'm going to read it the way I wrote it, and then I'm going to correct it, because it is not really true what I'm saying. See? But I'll try to make it true so you'll understand. Now, these we're going to call attributes in here, just to begin with. Now, attributes that make up God, that's not true. It's only true in the sense that he has attributes, and an attribute constitutes only on the ground of what was there previously to have attributes. You don't have attributes and then have God. You have God in with attributes. You see? And the attributes defined are really, from our viewpoint, so that we can get to know about God. And the things of God. So, we say, we'll put it this way, attributes that make us to know God, or make us know that he is God. You're all in here in the potential, this particular point. So, there are abilities and properties that lie within him, see? And those abilities and properties are all able to manifest because he's omniscient and he's omnipotent.
He knows everything about himself and what's in himself, and he knows exactly what to do with it, and he can do it. Sovereign God. See, all people don't understand sovereignty.
Oh,
there's a book out now by a man, Douglas Weaver, that wrote me and phoned me. But I was so sick in 84, I couldn't keep up the correspondence. So he got in touch with a lot of people. And he wrote a book on Brother Branham, particularly. And he's made some terrible mistakes. If we could have sat together, I could have helped him. But he is like all theologians, they're blind. I'm sorry for the man, he's a nice man. I'm going to take his book, get it, and we're going to have some real Armageddons with it. Because he's wrong. He's like every theologian. He argues back and forth, but he can't prove anything. I challenge 50 billion people, come up and hang. Come up here and pray over my fingernail and make this fingernail stop splitting. Just tell me right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there split again. Can't do it. William Branham could. Stand right there and raise the dead. I saw him on two occasions. I can't. Don't get me going. See? All right. Attributes up in here that make us know he is God. Abilities and properties that lie in him and all possible to be made manifested because he is omniscient and omnipotent. Okay. Over here, we see God in government. In government, or, pardon that awful writing, office. But I not only can't write too good, but I can't reach. Now, over here we see, oh, that's not very good to divide that way. Over here we see a tripartite, a tri-unity God. Now he's all of this. Not one bit of change, but he's into government now. That doesn't look too good, does it? That's better. God in government or God in office. These are not three persons. See? Not at all. I'll just put the abbreviation there. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See? They're not three people. You can never find scripture that designates God as three individuals. No way, shape, and form. Now, here is God in government. Now, God in government, we can just keep moving this way because we're learning a little bit as we go along. Now, in the beginning here, there's complete nothingness out there. In here we find God collecting all of his thoughts, forming all his plans, because he took counsel himself and nobody else. He tells us that in the Bible. Now, over here, he's beginning to move into this realm of the office of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, and this concept is down here to the family concept. You see what I read about? Now, here is what happened, and the mind can boggle, I care less. My mind boggles. Just join the crowd. Just don't worry about it. So here we have, now, God in creation plan. Okay, we'll start here. Now, it's all the same God. It's just a matter of how God is going to manifest himself. We'll put Son, Father, Holy Spirit. Now, we can start with John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we understand all things were made by him, and there's nothing made that wasn't made by him at all. And one of the great things you watch, most everybody not denigrates or denies the third verse, but they forget, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him was Zoe. In him, now let's go it again. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what is the Word? The Word is the expression of the thought or concept. But when it is the expression of the thought or concept, it must literally contain the thought or the concept. It cannot be a mumbo-jumbo word. Now, we make up words. See, people began spearing things. Well, let's make that a fork. And they adapted maybe spearing fish to spearing food on the table. That's not the way God works. God had to work from what He is Himself, because He is the great conceiver. He's not a concept. He has concepts. He's the great conceiver. So therefore, when God is going to come forth, as it says in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word. Now He's talking about a beginning. Back here there isn't a beginning. So there's got to be a beginning when all of this starts to come together and to bring it down into here, the family concept. So there's got to be a creation. Now, God's got nothing to start with except God. See? Now, watch. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So therefore, we have this understanding that God is going to begin to project Himself. So Brother Branham brings out here, and we have here like Logos. He called it a light. Another place he called it the sun. We went, that is S-O-N. We went through different thoughts on that. Now, remember, I'm going to use another color here. Remember, this one up here is this one here, is this one here, who wants to have a family. So he's going to have to manifest somehow as a father. This is where his office is. He's got to get down in here. Now, at the same time as we've been taught so thoroughly by Brother Branham, he is a Savior. He's a Redeemer. He's many things. So therefore, he has got to manifest somehow what lies in here, down in this area here. So, every one of these little attributes, they're seeds or sons up in here. See? Now, when he begins moving, it will be because of what is in here, in there, in relationship to this and he himself. Now, I hope you follow what I was saying. God wants a family. God's a father. It's got to be a relationship. He's got to do something about it. So, okay, they're all in here. Now, God begins now to move. And this is here where God begins, if you try to get with the expression, because it's a tough one, God begins creating himself. Now, God cannot create himself. We've got to use an expression. But because this is God, God begins to move into this area here where there is an expression. See? Now, this Logos here, we're going to call it Son also, Brother Branham said, God came down here, this is the Sermon of Melchizedek, and he, the scripture says concerning Melchizedek, no father, no mother, no beginning, no ending. Now, it can't be Jesus per se. We're talking about the man. Down here, this one becomes Jesus. Down in here. And he does have a father. And he does have a mother. I hope that's not too far down. Okay. Now, what we're looking at here then is the coming down from this area to redeem the children of God and to understand a certain amount of God becoming flesh, how there is one God, and that's all there is. There's not two, there's not three. So, let's begin to try to look at this. Now, if I want to, just kind of delete that. I learned it ever taught me, but teachers do it today, and every one of you could have learned it by yourselves, but it's likely you were taught it because you got a better education than I had, a better teachers. When I was given a question in mathematics, and I couldn't understand how to solve it, I would work from the answer plumb back to the question. Now, teachers teach that method nowadays. I learned that when I had learned it the hard way. It didn't teach me. And we did final examinations, and those examinations were corrected not by your teacher, but somebody in the capital of our province and a teacher that you never saw or heard. So they were very, very tough on you. So to get the best grades possible, I would always work backwards. So I'm going to work backwards. Here is, maybe I better raise this a bit here and not make it so far away. Here's Jesus, the Christ. This one was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, what we see here is the body that was born by Mary. Now, where did this body actually come from? Body, now here we go to nature again. Where does a body come from? The body of every species. And all species, there's no difference. The body has to come from the life that predicates the species. You got, look at here, you got dog life, you got bird life, you can put animal life, bird life in there. Hundreds of thousands of species in there. See? So we're looking at the fact that there is a life source. In the book of Genesis, it tells you, God said, let the earth bring forth the beast. The earth cannot bring forth the beast. No way. And the beast spirit was already there, and so God put a body on it from the earth. He made man to be a spirit form, which is light. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. But he didn't give him a body, as he gave the animal's body. So then he gave man a body. And that won't do any good because the female and the male is in the one body. So he splits them. So therefore they can propagate according to the life. But where did Adam get his life to propagate? God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and breath of lives, and he became a living soul. So here's God passing his own life down to Adam, and Adam was responsible for passing that life on. Amen. So therefore we find here God, through nature, is bringing down here to Mary. Well, God wants to be a father, and God is Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is a great creator. So what, the Spirit of God moved upon the face here, didn't he? So what happens? The Holy Spirit visits Mary, creates in her womb the sperm in the egg, which is the carrier of the life. And the life is all of God and has nothing to do with Mary or anybody else. That's all there is to it. Now, watch what happens when this one comes forth here, Jesus. I'll just wipe that off the line. Should we get a little closer what I have in mind here? Let's write this in again, Virgin Mary. Now, well, we'll just leave that here. Just rub that all off. Now, this one here is a baby, a human body. He grows in stature with favor in God and man, and he comes to the time when he's 30 years of age. At 30 years of age, his cousin, who is 6 months older, appears on the scene and is John the Baptist. And that's a true human being. This one is not a true human being, though he is a true human being. Never came like Adam. When he said, God is my Father, you read the Weeks translation, and the literal translation is that Jesus claimed God as his Father as no other person could claim God as his Father. And that is right. Because the Holy Ghost did this in the womb of Mary. Now, watch this man come here. This one is the Christ. So what happens? God comes down in the form of the Holy Ghost. And he has the office of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And at this particular time now, being the Father that brought him forth, he is now ready to manifest himself in the office of the Son. So there can come a time when this Son is in the congregation and praises God for every one of his brothers that he rescued. Now, let me read you something to get the picture. And I haven't got the picture perfectly clear yet, but I'm working on it. And I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. The things of God are so simple that we're so stupid as pitiful. I can't even find us looking for them. Oh, here it is, 2 Corinthians. Can't find it in Philippians. I want Philippians too, but I don't want it that bad. Let's look at the 5th or 2 Corinthians. And let's read it. And it says here now, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things should become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to him by him, to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now watch, to it, that God was in Christ. You get the picture? God was in Christ. What's that? The mask. Okay. Now here is why I'm trying to show you there are not two gods, three gods, there's one God. God was in Christ. Now look it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm going to go from this area here, the answer, because Christ is the answer. I found this. Here is the mask, and God is in Christ. Now, watch. The life and the whole fabrication is of God, period. And God indwells it. You got the same thing right here. Christ came out of God, which is the anointing. Coming out of God, God now indwells this, positively making it so that God himself, by Jesus Christ, creates every single thing. You follow me now? There's only one God. There's not two of them. I can't teach and relate perfectly all of this yet. But by the grace of God, I'll go further. Maybe not all of it. Now, let's look at this here. Here comes Melchizedek. Where did this Melchizedek come from here? It is another mask that God uses. It's a theophany, which means God is going to show himself. Now, God doesn't have to show himself to himself. And there's no use God showing himself at all if there's no one to show it to. So therefore, God will adapt to whatever the subjects are who are looking at him. So now, he gets a human form here in Melchizedek. That's why Brother Branham categorically said, the same one became Jesus. But who is this in here? It is God. That's how it is with Michael. When Jesus was Michael. It is that anointing, that spirit, call it anointing, that's what it is, because it's the anointing, Brother Branham said. It's that logos that came out of God, that God inhabits. So therefore, Jesus said, we'll put it here, after 30 years of age, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And he said, I and my Father are one. Now, as we said in here, all of this that you see here in little dots and forms I've talked about was already in him. So therefore, Brother Branham said, in him was to be. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, either so on. Now, if in him was, then that's all it could be. That's why you don't have three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You've got offices. And the offices, you've got manifestations. And the manifestation, you've got government. And I want to ask you now, who came down and set himself at the head of the church as the government to take over? Logos. What's in the Logos? God. And he came down in this last little while to be manifested as the Son of Man, which is a ministry. So, the Son of Man is not the pillar of fire. It is not William Branham. It's in the form of the Holy Ghost. So God has given us again the gift of His Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. And we're talking about God. Amen. Who do you think's in that pillar of fire? God is. Amen. See? That's just an expression the camera caught. You and I can't see it. That's the offering. You maybe see it one time, you don't see it another time. Go through a wall, go through anything else. Now this is kind of tough to follow, but it's not all that tough. See? Now, in him was to be. And of course, what was to be, had to be, and had to be manifested. Now, let's get the picture. God's always had prophets. And he's always had his children. And the serpent seed can't understand it. And the foolish virgin walks by it. But a son of God knows it. Because the deep calleth to the deep and the sheep know the voice. Let me tell you something, brother. We're not living in some pipe dream, some theologian stupidity. There's only one, thus said the Lord. They can't do it. They'll stand around pontificating. We may burn for you, but praise God, let's burn. Let's get the spirit of it, brother, since you get it right. Let's understand this. We can burn. They want to burn us. We can suffer and die. We're supposed to die, suffer and die. You bet we can, sons of God, do. That's right. Sweet hasn't come down yet. I get a whole lot more of you doing nothing yet. I just get angry, disgusted, and hurt. And my nerves go pooey on me, potty on me, everything else. Then I snap out of it, come out fighting again. I'll soon have myself shucked of all the preachers. They can drop dead. You spit your guts and they just run a tattle on you. They don't believe you anyway. Why fools them? God didn't send me here to teach preachers. Anybody listening can do what they want to do with it. And it was to be. In him was to be merely means that whatever is, there will be manifested in its proper role and time. In him was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That merely means the roles to be utilized as God's sovereign desire, when and where and as often as he pleases and in what way he wants to do it. That's all. All right. We saw him coming down here, starting here, bringing us down as sons. That's where God began to form himself into human flesh. He doesn't do it till down here. In the sense that it's the fullness of God. These little fellows came all down through here, through the human race of Adam. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Now, one thing, you'll get some thoughts. You won't get them all, but you'll begin to get some thinking in your mind now, and you're getting some things come together. Just keep bearing along till we get to where we want to go, which won't be tonight. All right. And in verse 9 of Ephesians says, and to make all see, that the word men in there is again, it's not men at all. It doesn't belong in there. It's talking about the saints. and to make all saints see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Now notice, the Bible said God did it. But where was God? In Christ Jesus, because we took it back from here. And God cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God does not change intrinsically, and the way God does it does not change. That's why we're liable. So God used that man as he used other prophets, and we're liable. Well, I didn't know. That doesn't cut any ice with God. Things you didn't want to know. I don't see you. Let's go to Colossians 1. You see what I meant when I said let's work it backwards? Now, if you got now, if we know what we're talking about here, I don't care. If we understand it here or not, it's got to be that way. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Do you really understand what I'm saying? Yes. You still look kind of dumb.
That's right.
You're not getting it. Look, God doesn't change. So if I know one time perfectly what God did, I've got him right there. All right, God was in Christ. Yet he always was in Christ. Because Christ means anointing, or the anointed one. Mashiach, Messiah, Christos, it's the same thing. And so therefore, that is the Logos. Because it said the Word became flesh, the full identification of God in a mask. Call it what you want, just remember this. And don't forget it, because that is our key. I can't go back to the time of Moses. I don't have to. God has spoken in the Son. So look at the Son. See? Christ. Everything. That whole anointing. The whole position that God was taken. God reduced himself, as Brother Branham said, to the insignificance of a sperm and an egg. In it was life, and it brought it forth. God came into him. God was in Christ. So the whole key, what we're looking at, is God in Christ. And I don't care if it's a pillar of fire. And I don't care if it's an angel or a cherubim. And I'm not going to let my mind go to try to figure all the fine points and make me a very great student and a great teacher who can tell you everything. Hogwash. I'm sick and tired of trying to find everything. I got my answer. God was in Christ. Any stupid jerk could know that. If you're stupid as me, then you'll find a hard job. You see what I'm saying? Now look, he was limited to the role of Savior here. He was limited up here creating roles. God's sovereign. You'll get it. Don't feel bad. Let's go to Colossians 1. All right. It's talking about this one. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now evidently there's a certain thing here where there's an inheritance where the saints are in light and where the saints are in darkness. Will you call the foolish virgin saints in light or saints in darkness? I'd call them saints in darkness. They had no oil. So they won't be part of New Jerusalem. They bring their glory into it. Oh my, how wonderful to know the things of God. This is spellbinding to me. Just think what the prophet brought us. And left us here to look at it. People are scared to look at things. We'll be scared. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The image of the invisible God. How can you make an image of anything invisible? The invisible thing has to do with itself. The word image is an icon. It doesn't mean it's a real thing. He said in Hebrews, it's the expression, the very outraying of God. God outraged. to look upon the pillar of fire and say, that's God. No, God is in the pillar of fire. Now, this, what's the pillar of fire for? To speak face to face. You can't talk face to face with God. God doesn't have your kind of face and my kind of face. You can't see God live, but that's called face to face in the Bible. So we're looking at something. God's in that. A manifestation. Now again, let's read. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of a creature, of all creation. For by him are all things created, that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, or all things, were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, the Jehovah's Witness weren't so terribly far off when they said Jesus isn't God, but he was the agent whereby God created. That isn't really true. God was in him doing the creating. God had to put a mask on. He had to start a form. He had to start somewhere. And this is what came out of him. Brother Brown said, like a little halo light, like a child playing around his father's door. The beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. And he said, you can't make Jesus the Word. You got three gods. You couldn't make him that one. Can't do it. You'll catch on, don't worry. Now listen. It says here, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That's a wrong translation. A better translation. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell. What came out of God, what God was responsible for, what he shaped, what he did, he walked into it. Then there came a day when he did this without redemption. But you see, keep working backwards. Just keep your mind on. Look, I'm not going to swing from this. I'd have to have an angel of God come down, and even then I don't believe I'd believe him. Why should I? I got the Bible. God was in Christ. If that was good here, it was good every single place, or the prophet lied and God lied. Hey, let me read it to you. Come on, Ecclesiastes. One of my favorites. Just before Songs of Solomon. Third chapter, verse 14. For I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. And that which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past. My, is it any clearer? If I can find just one place where the light comes through, I've solved the principles. One God, not two. No, sir. God in a role. Any role he wants to take. Any figure he wants to take. A pillar of fire, a cloud, light, spoke in the wind, a movement. Just let your thinking go. You're not God. You're a figure for God. Just listen to what God told you. I'm not God, but I'm telling what's in the Word. Amen, Lord. That's great. I told you how I got victory. I heard Brother years ago, listen, God is my judge. It turned my whole life right around. It kept me right in the middle of the road. When I heard him preach on the rapture tape, rapture out there in Yuma, Arizona, back in 1965, December the 4th. And he said, the Lord just had to shout. He said, the shout's a message. In my heart, I said, in my mouth, tongue going. I said, Brother Branham, I heard you say a lot of things, but this is the worst ever. I don't think I can take it. Like I heard myself, and they say, but when was he ever wrong? Shouts the message. If I can get you people there, you begin to see things. If I can't get you there, you just sit there. It's not my fault. Amen. You understand what I'm saying here? If that did it once, that did it. I read it to you. Listen. He said, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past. This is past, brother, and you and I know it. So he requires that from you and me. Yeah. You can't sit like a bump on a log tonight and say, well, this, that, and the other thing. You got to believe. No, sir, too far down the road. Okay, let's keep. Now, I was in Colossians. I don't know if I got through with that or not. Let me go back and check it because my memory's not that good.
Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right. We're going to keep reading. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alien and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now is he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreproved in his sight, if you continue in the faith ground and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, have made a minister. What did he say here? This one who was made in the image of Almighty God actually was poured forth from God, brought into a form that could have the protein and the minerals and whatever else is needed, that God could coat it with earthly things and actually bring forth the true image of God in human form. And God was in Christ. Can't you see, brother, sister, except for a little bit of a body, that's God, period. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one person. Because it's all of God. You can't get away with it. And he said, here, if you're looking at this and seeing it, he said, and don't get moved from it, and I'm a minister to it, he said, that's what you're looking for. Okay. So I read after verse 16, and then on down through. All right, now, we go to Hebrews, the first chapter, and the second second verse, hath these last days spoken unto us in Son. What's in Son? In the office of Son. God spoke in the office of Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. Brother Branham used that term not of ages, but he used it of the term worlds. The question was asked, he said, are there more than one world? He said, several worlds. And there are really. So it can go both ways. Who being the brightness of his glory, the word glory to me is an assessment. How can I assess God? Well, only if God literally blares forth in magnitude of his essentiality, his abilities, staggers me. Now you're talking about glory. You're looking at it. That's what Jesus is right here. He's the blasting forth of God, the effulgence, the outraying, the express image of his person, and you can't see him. So every single thing that transpired down here through human flesh, you know exactly what God's like. I know it staggers you, so I just don't know if that is 100%. Well, then you missed the boat somewhere. And I don't think even the people that believe in three gods really accept that. They don't. How could they believe for 1 minute that Scorsese could be right and the filthy junk that produced that film? And they even said, well, they thought it would express something. No. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. In other words, this one here was the tabernacle of Almighty God. Everything about him was a God. And that flesh right there, brother, sister, never sinned. Perfect God and perfect man. God brought himself down there to redeem the sons. Okay. Now, I'm going to read you. If you go back to Genesis 1 and 1, you'll see where the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. God created. You'll see John 1 and 1 is the same thing. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 4. How's our time doing? Can you flip me over? Seconds? Oh, there you didn't let your light. Did your light go on? Your light didn't go on. How am I going to see if you don't put your light on? All right. We're going to stop pretty quick here because I don't want this service to be prolonged. All right. We're going to go to Revelation 4. And we're going to read. And it said, after this I looked, and behold, the doors open in heaven. The first voice which I heard, as it were the trumpet talking to me, and said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things that which must come hereafter. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, one sat upon the throne. It doesn't say one, it says there was sitting on the throne what? He that was to look like upon a jasper and a sardine stone, a rainbow around the throne, sight like an emerald. In other words, a pillar of fire. God in colors, rainbow. Round the throne were 24 seats, upon the seats 24 elders clothed in white raiment. They had heads were crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now God doesn't have actually seven spirits, seven manifestations, seven church ages. Dispensation. And before the throne was a sea of glass, like in a crystal mist. The throne, round about the throne, were four beasts, four living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. And the first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature the face of man, the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and which is to come. See, there's no change in him. And when those beasts give glory and honor unto God, and him give glory and honor to him that sat in the throne, who lived forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat in the throne, worshiping there forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure were all things created. Notice that? The one on the throne. The one on the throne, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for that place that were and are created. Now watch, in the fifth chapter, that one is sitting on the throne, and he says, who is going to open the book? Everybody crying, everybody screaming, nobody opens the book, and a lamb comes from behind the throne and takes the book. So the lamb isn't sitting on the throne, and the lamb isn't God. And who did the creating? God did. You see why Jesus isn't God, and why he's not the Logos, why he's not the Word, rather, as Brother Branham said. You can't make it that way. But everybody wonders then where the bodies are. What happened to Melchizedek's body? Who cares? Why did God leave Mel? Why did he have to then leave the Archangel Michael? That's his business. You know what's wrong? The church is like a woman. Question, 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 question. Shut up. Stop asking your questions. Listen. Get on. What happened in your kitchen? Where's the body? Then they say, where's the body? I'll tell you where it is. It's ascended. And the one on the throne came down to open the seals, and Jesus the Lamb climbed on the throne. How do you know? The prophet said so. But take care of it. What's your question? Next question, please. You didn't ask last one. Shut up, I did. You didn't hear it. Still love me? You know I'm not mad at you. Just trying to get it. If you're shouting would do it, I'd have it right across to you. It says, weep not, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, prevailed, opened the book, and loosed the seven seals, and I beheld a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in the earth. Thoroughly identified with the Holy Ghost. Thoroughly identified with God. Christ and God was in him. But God left him. He's on the throne. Now the Lamb is on the throne. And God left him again. He's down here.
Amen.
The head of the church. In a pillar of fire. Using a prophet. It's not hard to understand. Anybody understand that? See, sure you can. Now listen. Let me show you what we're talking about. I knew I'd have to do this sometime. Might as well do it now as later. We're going to go to John 5. Take verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Very good. Now let's just find out what about those works. So we run quickly over to John 14 and 10, and we read, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Ha ha, that's a good one. Figure it out. Why bother? Just believe it. Now listen. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. No, I don't. Who's doing it? The Father's talking. Notice the next phrase. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I made a note of John 8 and 28. Wonder what it is. Verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Yes. He was just the mouth of God.
Right.
He was the human intelligence of God, because God transmitted his intelligence to him. And he could talk. Let's go also. In John 5, you see, I've got John 5. I didn't get that one yet. John 5 and 36. I think I got a note down here for John 5 and 26. Let's see if it's right. For as the Father hath life in himself,
so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So that is, the Father hath Zoe in himself, he had given to the Son to have Zoe in himself. That was the Father's plan all the time. And it comes through the Son. Zoe comes through the Son, the first manifestation. And Zoe is where God is identifying with nature, but he's got to start with nature in order to identify with it. Before, Brother Branham said so beautifully, before there was a fish with fins, there was a sea to swim in. So how could God identify? He had to make, first of all, something here. There's your original Son. So he moved into him. Now his Father, he's begetting. Now, what's begotten? Sons. You know, nothing difficult, just line it with nature. But don't take it too far. We can't take it too far. See, Father's life in himself. The Son has got life in himself. Zoe, the first step was Logos. The first step is Logos, which is absolutely Zoe. Oh, we'll find something. We won't tonight. Forget it. Maybe not tomorrow morning either. It's in here. I showed you. Brother Branham called the Logos the Son coming out of God. Where do sons come out? Issue out of fathers. Brother Branham said, you long to have fellowship with your Son. He was still in your loins. But one day through holy matrimony and the bedding ground of your mother, you brought forth your Son. You have fellowship with him. Come on, God in nature. It runs parallel. What could God do? Same thing. Same thing, bedding ground. And that's where Brother Bannon could say, let us make marriage. What was God doing? Talking to the Son. No, I don't understand everything, but it's good enough for me. John 8:38. I'm not going to worry about all these little things to argue about. Let the theologians argue, they can go to hell doing it. I don't intend to go to hell. I'm a believer. If you argue with God, you're going to be on the losing end of the battle. Just consider yourself a 3-year-old kid to argue with your dad. You get him mad enough, he whoop you one. I mean, he whoop you one, brother. Verse 38, I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father. Ha ha! There's a couple of sources now. There's another Father God in here somewhere. Whoops, wrong color. It's a better color. Ho ho! Something got in here. Something got in here and got in through here. That's why you got, not in here, hold it. All around here. That's why you got predestined. That's why you got election. Choosing. To serve. Okay. 10 and 15. Let's look at it again. See, God was in Christ. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's pretty good. See, if 11 and 4, but then maybe that's good. Let me see. That's not the verse I wanted there. It's he's talking to Lazarus here, and he said, the Father always heareth me. It's right in there somewhere anyway. The idea is that the Son speaking now said, the Father always hears me. In other words, there is absolutely a rapport between the man Christ Jesus and the one who is his Father, which is Almighty God. And he has distinctly the life of the Father and nothing but the life of the Father in him, and the Father also indwells him. See? Now, I read 14 and 10, or did I? Yeah, but he was not I am in the Father and the Father in me. See? Then, verse 12, verily say unto you, he that believeth me, the works that I do, shall be greater than these, because I go unto my Father. Notice the going back to the Father. 16 and 15, these are just some verses I picked up from the concordance. They're not that important. 16 and 15, all things the Father hath are mine, therefore said that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Notice that. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Where did he get in the first place? From God. He got nothing else. And in 23, the 23rd verse, here, in that day you'll ask me nothing, verily say unto you, whatever you should ask the Father in my name, that's not the one I wanted. It might have been in John 17.
Doesn't matter any. There's some of these verses I just put copied down wrong. I wasn't worried much about them because I just wanted to get you to understand the principle we're looking at here in this whole scenario. We're getting it down where we understand there is positively one God in three offices, and we find God was in Christ. Christ is the Logos, Christ the anointing, Christ the pillar of fire, Christ is the Son, the whole thing right down the line. Now, you ought to put it all together because here is where you get your key right here. If this is it, the whole thing is it, and you stop right there. God with a mask. Now, we go back to, go over that once more, maybe, in Philippians. And I'm going to have to quit because we're going from this here, we can go tomorrow and finish what I want. Now, see if I got my notes here. I don't know if I got my notes or not. I can't see some writing I had down there, but anyway, it doesn't make that much difference. All right. Let this mind, verse 5, let this mind be which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, beat with God, but he made himself an reputation and took upon him the form of servant and was made the likeness of men. Now in here we find what we are looking at is that this one here that became the mask for God, the one from the beginning, God beginning to form, he did not retain that, but he took upon himself a form, which actually means a fashion and a likeness and a forming. Literally, God was forming himself into human flesh. That's exactly what God was doing. And it says right here, this is the process. And because this is the process that he took upon himself, the fashion of a man, formed for the position of death, and being obedient, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given name which is above every name, and every name is going to bow. So as you see this here and understand what happened, that God came in the river Jordan and filled him, that God left him in the Garden of Gethsemane, that God raised that same one we're talking about, give him a glorified body. So that's as far as I'm going to go tonight, because tomorrow, if I can remember where I'm leaving off tonight, and showing how we got down this far, so we always revert back. You can always go back. Just like Jesus said, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have known me. So how come? He would have. But they didn't know Moses. Didn't understand these things here. So we get this distance here. Now tomorrow morning, we come back. We're going to start going into the processes of where we have come down through the ages, and now we'll be going back and we're seeing the things that Brother Branham speaks of this day, which are in the Sermon of Melchizedek, which have to do with the fact, as I mentioned, this one here took on himself a form which is a spirit body, but the other sons did not. They bypassed entirely and went right down here to physical form. And it was his physical form that allows temptation. It was the physical form here that allowed the temptation. There was no temptation here. There's no temptation there. There's no temptation when this same one, not Melchizedek now, but the same one, the same God in a human form, this is Genesis 14, went to Genesis 18 before the Sodom destruction. Same person, not a different one. One God, Holy Spirit, in three offices. And he had to use a mask. And the whole confusion lies in one thing. How did God come down here and be a man? And William Branham is the only person who explained it. And I'm doing my best to follow with good old Brother Branham from what he gave us here. And I've never given up on what he said. I cannot give up on him. He said God and Jesus aren't the same one. He said the only difference is one had a beginning. You can't take away from what God said. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, studying your word tonight and doing our best to show, Lord, and knowing, O God, that we have seen the truth, that though the prophets spoke, and it was good, and the men preached, and it was good, but the biggest thing of all was, Lord, when you yourself took upon yourself to procreate, to beget, to bring forth a human body by means of a virgin, wherein you did exactly what the prophet said, and now we know exactly how you always did and always will, God in Christ. And no matter, Lord, how that form comes or whatever,
We know you will be in it. Just as the prophet said, it's the same God, the one God taking the form necessary, but always that one God in his offices coming down and doing in a form just exactly what you wanted done. We see your sovereignty. So, Father, we thank you that we know this better than we knew it maybe to this point. But by your grace, Lord, we'll know it even better. And we know, Lord, that what you teach us and what you give us can nurture us and bring us up to the place where we will really see ourselves positioned in you, Lord, and that same life that is allotted to us in this hour being released in us, Lord. What a fabulous thing it's going to be. For the dead will come out of the grave, Lord, and your saints living here will be changed, and they're going to be taken out of here. So, Father, help us now in this late hour to never give up the pressing in by faith, to just lay ourselves open, get out of the way, that you might reveal to us your truth, which we know is given to us in love. Help your people to understand, Lord, that this is not a little lesson that's academic or something trying to put upon anybody. But we know, Lord, this is your word. And out of your word, Lord, which is life, will come that life we're looking for to transform us and get us out of here. Father, that's what I believe. I can't teach the people anything else other than that. If I'm wrong, Lord, you're going to just have to remove me, get me out of here, because I'm wrong in what I'm doing, teaching error, everything else, Lord. But I cannot see anything else, oh God. There's nothing I know, because you said right in your own word here, in the spirit of revelation and the wisdom and the knowledge in the church, absolutely, if the dead will be raised and there's a bride going to be taken out of here. Shout, voice, trumpet. So, Father, I believe I'm 100% with your word insofar as I'm able to go. And I can't claim what the prophet had, nor can anybody here. But, Lord, we can claim that we want to have it. And by your grace, we will have it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, bless you. I'm not going to take a lot of time. Time gets away so rapidly up here. Just read in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter a little tiny bit. And the brethren we're going to serve don't mind coming forward at this time here. They can just stand here because it won't take that long. Said, for I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord the same night in which he betrayed took bread, and when he given thanks he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. You know, the same thing that Melchizedek did was to offer the emblems. And I notice in this film, the temptation of Jesus Christ, the last temptation, they're doing everything they can to make it entirely blasphemous. But you know, the Bible says at the end time, they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. That means the works of the Holy Spirit. The same thing that we venerate, that we know that God is here in the form of pillar fire. They crucified themselves, and you know what? There's no repentance for it. You say, Brother Vail, do you believe those people repent? There's no way they'll repent, brother, sister, because God said they won't. She said, well, I'm a nice guy. You're like fun, you're a nice guy. You're a hellhound, and that's where you're going. You got the wrong kind of love. You ain't got love at all. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And there's no Holy Ghost without the Word, my brother, my sister. You believe it? Come on, don't be foolish. Unless that love comes out of that word, you haven't got love. You got a human, silly kind of love. I'm not saying now you're not supposed to be sentimental and nice. I told you, you can be even gushy and squeezy, and God knows you can be a trollop. That's the only kind of love you got. Heaven. Happy for you. I'm going to tell you something. There's a love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't come from the spirit of man. It only comes from the spirit of Almighty God and the soul of a born-again child of God. And that doesn't see things in the eyes of the world. The eyes of theologians sees them in the eyes of the Word. I may whip you a bit here, but listen, come on, brother, sister. You can't fool around. It's too late to fool around. Too late to fool around. You haven't got time to fool around. You got to get with it. That's what they've done. They lied to the church people. They said when this film was stopped back about 3 years ago, 5 years ago, they took it up. Paramount, I think, spent $2 million. The church stopped it. And they paid a churchman. They lied to him and said, you convince the people we are not going to put anything vast. It's going to be a beautiful film. It's going to be exactly right. And then they wouldn't even show them a screening. Then they threw it on the public.
Judas's. The people with the paper are behind it. Don't think for one minute it's not going to backfire. How many Jews are going to get saved? 144,000 of the millions. Brother, it's sister, it's over. You understand it's over. If you're waiting for something, I've got news for you. You're going to be sitting here and miss it. The prophet said everything we needed is going to put us in a rapture. I love his word, brother, sister. It's a source of all strength. Crucify the Son of God afresh. They're doing it. He said, this is a testament in my blood. It's a covenant. It's a will. A testament is usually a will. You know, when you take that wine tonight and you eat that bread, you realize that you're actually participating in the will of Almighty God and say, yes, Lord, it's mine. It's mine. Right here, I'm claiming what you purchased. I'm claiming what you bought. I'm an heir. This is mine. You're showing his death, but why did he die? He died to give you everything. The whole world's his. Now he's going to renovate and give it back. Give it to us. This is the will. Melchizedek, God came down the pillar of fire like Melchizedek up here. The heat of the battle's over now. You your trouble rest with us when the Lord descend him with his show. That's it. Mine. Heaven to go to heaven. Whoso eats his bread and drinks a cup unworthily shall be given the body and blood of the Lord. Be careful what you do in this hour. There's no other hour. Judas partook what happened. He couldn't repent. Went right out and betrayed him. It's all over. Since 1956, America has been shot. 32 solid years have gone by without hope. Without Christ, without God. Judgment facing her. Then a man examine himself. Examine yourself. You got faith to believe that tonight? Not that you're a goody-goody person, although God knows we should all be a million times better than we are. No problem there. But you believe that this will was made out to you tonight? That you've been called to witness the reading of the will? I'm heir to my elder brother's entire inheritance. Little simple performance, it means so much. He that eats and drinks unworthily, nothing but condemnation. If Brother Branham said you should be full of the Holy Ghost to do this, absolutely. Many are weak and many are sickly. That's one, that's true. People die prematurely. Can't get through to healing. You know why? Come here every month. Read the will. Well, it sure would be nice if that was mine. You mean my brother died and left that? I can't believe that. You mean to tell me that actually are my father that I didn't know but my elder brother knew left him all that and he gave that to me? The invisible God, the unknown God made true by Jesus. Someday, brother, sister, it's going to be real. Brother Branham didn't tell us all this, and I'm not teaching you all what he taught us. Just for words? No, it's not just words anymore, brother, sister. It can't be. Yeah. If it's just words, look, and I just want to... Okay, you know, if it's just words, let God send me hell and just annihilate me. Just get over it. If it's just words, who needs it? What can I believe? Where can I go? To be annihilated would be perfect. Just get out. This is real. Let's rise at this time. Lord, you come along and help us to move. I think most of the people know how we're going to move from the back and around here, and then you just got to circle around. We're kind of got a bad situation here, but that's all right. One, two, three groups make one whole. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you now for the emblems you set before us. And Lord God in heaven, each time we think about them and look at your word concerning it, something deeper begins to move upon our souls and our minds, O God, to realize just what it's all about and how little we really know, Lord, how much we have and how little we're familiar with it. Just like a man can be married the most wonderful woman in all the world and vice versa. Say, well, what a jewel I had. Didn't even know the person. Just begin to look back and see what I missed by not knowing. Oh, God in heaven, help us to know, because you said the truth would set us free in knowing it. Help us tonight, Lord. Every man, woman, and child, bar none, Lord. I'm cahootious tonight. Doesn't matter. Come tonight and partake in faith, oh, God. Even coming down the aisle, believing for the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost in God, I'm coming forward, Lord. And I want to be worthy. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Word upon word, Lord, until completely filled and seated in by the grace of God. Help us all to this end. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And those who pray would take first and adore you. Help them, Lord, to get moving here.